Thank you, praise team. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew is where I'm going to be speaking from today, as well as the next couple of weeks. The title of the message is Jesus as Savior. Now, I'm assuming that many of you in this room, if not all of you, have asked Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior. If you haven't, today's your day. Why not? Ask Him to be your Lord and Savior and have Him save you from your sins. That would be a great, great thing to do on December 2nd of 2019. And so as I preach this message, I think of, you might want to think about what Jesus did for you as Savior. I know it's not Jesus-mas, but it actually is Christmas, or you could even say Merry Christmas to some people and see what they might say. Be bold about that, if you will. Last week, we talked about the value of a name, and that name being Jesus, and how when we utter Jesus' name, there is something that takes place. Jesus is given different descriptions in Matthew. And so last week we talked about the name. This week we're going to talk about Him as Savior. Next week we're going to talk about Him as Emmanuel. Then we're going to talk about Him as King, as Shepherd, and as the Child. Now I have a question for you here this morning. Because as I preach, maybe you'll identify with this a little more. Has anybody been like close to death, and somebody has come and rescued you? Maybe you were in a lake somewhere and somebody came and got you, or you were in a vehicle like that and then you were in great peril. Was anybody like that? Dave, you, Damien, Jeremy, Brent, Jim, Ken, somebody else over here? Richard? Yeah. Maybe this message will mean a little more to you, because there's something that happens when you're in utter despair and you have no way out. Now, I know several of the stories of the hands that were raised. I think of Richard over here, and I don't know if you know Richard's story, but I think it was diving, or somehow he ended up in the water and was paralyzed like that, and somebody pulled him out of the water. And if nobody would have pulled him out of the water, you wouldn't know Richard Smith today. It's amazing in those moments. Let me ask this question of you now. Has anybody here been on the other end of that, where you came upon something and you helped, if you will, save someone? Has anybody ever been that way? Hold your hands up for just a moment. Now, that's a whole other ballgame. And in those situations, people like almost bow down at your feet at times, because you've done something and you're like, well, I was just doing my job, or I was just kind of doing what I thought I should be doing. Jesus came to save His people from their sins. These probably many are physical type relationships that took place. It was something physical, and Jesus came to save you from your sins. Maybe you're one that's been saved physically, or I thought of some other ones that maybe you've been saved from. Maybe you've been saved in a storm. Maybe you've been saved with your finances. Maybe that's you. You were going down a pathway with your finances and somebody came along and said, don't spend your money like that. That's a waste. That is just, and somebody saved you. Maybe you have been saved from yourself. If you've ever been saved from yourself, you know what I'm talking about. Those deep, dark times where you thought, oh my. Maybe you've been saved by the bell. That's kind of a funny one. Anybody remember that show? Saved by the Bell. Okay, maybe not. Maybe you've been saved from slipping. Maybe you've been saved from someone or something. What does it mean for you to have Jesus as your Savior? 36 to 39 times Savior is used in the Bible. Even in this passage that I'm going to read to you today, it's not used as He's a Savior, but it tells us that He will save us from our sins. So if you'd join me in Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 18, and then I'm going to go over through verse 21. Here's what it says. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way when His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And then this is where we'll camp out for the day. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. First thing I want you to see is, for he. There is only one that can save you from your sins. No other name can do that. Jesus was a man. He was in the flesh. He wasn't an it or a ghost. He was a person. He was a he. I begin to think, does anyone on earth not really know the name of Jesus? I'm assuming that there are some, but I encourage you to talk about Jesus freely. It's okay to do. Weave him into your Christmas conversations. Maybe some of the easiest times to do this is now, because the whole world stops, as I've mentioned before, for Christmas. Jesus is the only one and the only one and the only one that can save. You may have been able to save someone from a death or a terrible tragedy, but Jesus is the only one who can save us from our sins, which means eternal death. No other. Not Buddha, not some other religious leader, not your grandma. The only person that can save you is Jesus. Not Mary, not Joseph, not Abraham, not Moses. The only person that can save you is Jesus. Not Donald Trump, not Bill Gates, not Aaron Rodgers or Mr. Rogers. None of those can save you. Only Jesus. Not Peter Brinkley, not Sean Hannity, not SpongeBob, not Steve Allender, not Christy Noem, Mike Modric, not Spider-Man, Barbie, Dash, nor a stormtrooper or a minion or any adventurer can save you from your sins. Only Jesus can. Not Ant-Man, not Black Panther, not Drew Barrymore or Justin Bieber. Only Jesus, not George Washington or Napoleon or MacArthur or Ivan the Great. Only Jesus can save you from your sins. Jesus, in his ministry, came to a small town called Jericho. And when he was going through Jericho, there was a very short man. You've all heard this story. And his name was what? Zacchaeus. And he wanted to see Jesus. And so what did Zacchaeus do? He went and he climbed up the tree to see Jesus, did he not? And Jesus came along and he said, get down out of the tree, for I need to go to your house. And he did. Here's what is said about Zacchaeus' house. His house was the house of a sinner. And here's what Jesus says himself in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus came to save. He is the only one that can save us from our sins. 1 Timothy 2:5 agrees with this. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is a testimony given at the proper time. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, another verse. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost. I love those words. Those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Draw near to God this time of the year. Jesus was a man. He was a he. He is the only one able to save. Number two, will save. For he will save. What a promise. What a joy. Jesus came to save. What does it mean to save? Here's what it means. To heal, to preserve, to rescue. Jesus came to heal you of, and I, of our disease of sin. He came to preserve our life as a believer. He came to rescue us from death. We just sang these words. He came to give us life. And that's what happens when he saves us from our sins. I began to ponder this last week, and maybe you've thought of this. Could God, could Jesus, could the Holy Spirit have saved us without Jesus coming to earth? Could that have happened? The answer is yes, because it's God, and he can do whatever he wants. However, he chose to come and live on this earth and identify with us and to die for our sins. What happened when he came to our earth? He conquered death. He conquered sins. He identified with us. He lived among us. He testified to the human race. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. One of his titles, Savior. We sing a song, we didn't sing it today. He is mighty to save, he is mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Many of you know that song. Mighty to save from what? From death. He will save. There was an officer in San Diego, and his name was Les Brown. And he was driving down the interstate, highway number 5, when he got a code blue. A code blue is that someone was dying. And the address was close to where he was at, and so he figured, well, I'll go and assist and I will help. So he sped away. The off-ramp that he wanted to use was under construction. And so he's like, well, how am I going to be able to get to this call? And so he drove up, and they actually happened to be working that day. He drove up close to an earth-moving machine, and he told the construction worker he was responding to an emergency. And so the worker said, follow me, got his big earth-moving vehicle, and paved the way and created an exit for the officer to get off on that off-ramp. He drove about 3 more blocks, and he went up to the house, and there was a woman on the front porch, and there was a child in her arms, and the child was blue and was choking on something. And so the officer knew what to do and picked the child up, slapped the child on the back, and out popped a button, and life flowed back into that child. The mother, of course, just cried and wept, and she was sure thankful. Of course, the officer went on his way. The next day, Officer Brown was close to that off-ramp again and along the highway, and so he saw that earth-moving machine working, and he thought, oh, well, I'm going to go over and I'm going to tell the guy thank you, because that was very kind, and maybe give him the story. And so he jumped out, and when the operator saw the police officer, he actually jumped out of his earth-moving machine, and he said, Officer, that baby that you saved yesterday was my son. The police officer saved this young son from physical death. Jesus himself, if you want to use this analogy or this picture, was a big earth mover himself. And he moved that pain of sin and death. And where everything seemed to be closed up, how are we going to be able to get through? Jesus said, in the power that I have on the cross, I will save you. Hebrews 9 tells us this, therefore he is a mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. The saving concept is unique to Christianity. How many other religions do they have a savior? Most you have to achieve greatness by doing things, by doing good works. How do you achieve oneness with Jesus? Accepting him as savior is how you do it. Accepting his gift of grace, of his saving power. According to Wikipedia, a Buddhist path to enlightenment is through the practice and the development of morality and meditation and wisdom. An atheist does not believe in gods, so they make themselves their own God. They would say, stop worrying and enjoy your life. And as a Christian, we shouldn't worry because Jesus had come for us. But as for enjoying your life, a Christian can, but that doesn't mean that he can be hedonistic and do whatever his animalistic instincts, urges, because we shouldn't do that. And even an atheist would have to agree to that. An agnostic believes that nothing is known or can be known of the existence of the nature of God. A Hindu's religion is a matter of practice rather than beliefs. A Hindu must perform well in this life in order to be reincarnated as something else greater than the next life. The Islam religion believes in Allah, and all must surrender to Him, and they don't believe in Jesus as the Son of God. They don't see Him as a Savior. Muhammad was a greater prophet. They need to pray 5 times a day, facing Mecca, to meet the criteria. They believe man is sinless, so why do you need a Savior? You must know that Jesus Christ came to save you from your sins. And He's the only one that can save. Number 3, from sins, if you haven't already filled it out. For He will save from sins. Are you a sinner? Were you a sinner? Christ came and died for you. What is sin? There are several different definitions that you might be able to come with. Here's one of them. Anything you think, say, or do against God. I say that most every Wednesday night with Miss Pat and Manel and Randy and our cubbies. Anything you think, say, or do against God, that's a sin. A better definition for some might be this: a willful transgression against God. That may not be better for some. That may be more difficult to understand. A willful transgression against God. It could also be defined as missing the mark or going against God. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We cannot reach God, but God gave us a way. It's through His Son, Jesus Christ. We can be made righteous. We can turn from evil and do good. We can love instead of hate. We can have pure minds instead of depraved minds. We can show love to our neighbor instead of malice. We can even get along with the person at work that really bugs us because of Christ saving us from our sins and moving within us. Have you asked for God's power in that way in recent days? Let me get a little more personal with you here for just a moment. And in that way, I mean with a coworker that you don't get along with, or a family member that is just plain weird. It's Thanksgiving time, it's Christmas time, and we get with some of those. Have you asked for God's power to work through your life and save you from, if you will, that sin of self-righteousness, that sin of pridefulness, that sin of, well, if they would really figure it out then? Ask God to set you free from that sin. Because we sure can get pretty, well, I'll let you fill all that in. All we like sheep have gone astray, but Jesus is the one to help us. John Newton wrote these words: poor, weak, and worthless, so let me start again. Poor, weak, and worthless though I am, I have a rich, almighty friend. Jesus the Savior is His name. He freely loves and without end. He ransomed me from hell with blood, and by His power my foes controlled. He found me wandering far from God and brought me to His chosen fold. Paul says to Timothy in this way in 1 Timothy 1, the saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Here's some interesting notes about Jesus. He is the complete Savior. He is the Savior of the world. He saves by grace. He saves by His death, resurrection, and coming again. He saves from physical danger, from the power of sin, from the condemnation of law, from God's wrath, from death, from Satan's power. He saves to eternal life, to live for God, and He saves through faith. John 3:17, for God did not send His Son in the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. And here's what a commentator says. For those whom Christ saves, he saves from their sins, from the guilt of sin by the merit of his death, and from the power of sin by the spirit of his grace. In saving them from sin, he saves them from wrath and the curse and all misery here and hereafter. Christ came to save his people not in their sins, but from their sins. I have a picture that I want to show you. You might be familiar with this, you might not. Anybody know what that is? It's kind of hard to see, maybe. This is what is called a life belt. A life belt was a belt, and just keep that up on the screen, Chris, please. A life belt that was it was worn, and it can be worn when somebody's out to sea. It kind of is like a life jacket, but it's a belt. And if somebody gets in great need, in great concern on the sea, they can, you know, make that as a flotation device. It'll pop up, and then they float, and so they don't drown. It's been used in the military. And during World War II, there was a signalman, and he was a third class named Elgin Staples. He was swept overboard when a gun turret exploded. He activated the narrow life belt, and he was in the ocean for 4 hours with his life belt on. A ship came and picked him up. He was thankful for that. But that ship then was capsized and sank, and so he ended up back in the water again for 6 hours. Finally, the USS President Jackson came by and picked him up and 500 other survivors. Staples looked at his life belt and noticed that it was made by Firestone Tire and Rubber Company of Akron, Ohio. Of course, he was very thankful for Firestone Tire and Rubber Company of Akron, Ohio. On his life belt, there was a registration number. His mother worked at Firestone. When he got home, he told his mother the registered number stamp on the life belt. And as you would know the rest of the story, the number was her stamp of her personal inspection on that life belt. God, in the name of Jesus, has his name on your life belt. Your life belt may not save you for drowning, but it will save you from the penalty of hell. Jesus came to save each of us from our sins. As you walk out of here today, I hope that everybody that's within the sound of my voice has a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If not, repent of your sins today. If you do, then you walk out of here knowing that you're saved from your sins. And all this Christmas season, you should walk around, not in a prideful way, but in a humble and a bold way, that Jesus has saved you from your sins. Jesus has come. He came as a babe to be your Savior and to be my Savior. I thought of some things maybe that we need saving from. And so maybe in your bulletin, maybe you just need to write one of these down. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're not struggling with anything today. But ultimately, Jesus came to save you from your sins. That's the big one. All of that. But sometimes we have a sin that kind of comes in our life, and we may allow it, or we may make wrong decisions, or I don't know exactly how it all happens, but I do know this: God can save you in each of those. So let me give you a couple of thoughts here. What can Jesus save you from? He can save you from sins. So if you need to repent of sins, then do that. Or maybe there's something a little more personal. Have you had the sin of fear? Has there been a fear that has come upon you that you have just said yes to, and you need to say no to? Jesus can save you from that sin. Have you had a sin of worry? I won't ask for a show of hands, but do you trust in the Lord? If you trust in the Lord, then why worry? Can that be a sin? Now, maybe you want to debate with me. Well, it's not really a sin. It's just, you know. Well, if it occupies your mind and not Jesus, maybe it's a sin. Do you have a sin of hate? When I say that, did somebody come in your mind right now that, oops, I wasn't supposed to think of that person today? Do you have a sin of hate? Jesus can save you from that sin. Do you have a sin of pride? Are you proud about something and you're just like, ah. And it's a sin. Do you need to be saved from yourself and what you have allowed yourself to become, possibly? Jesus can save you from your self woes. Oh, woe is me. Woe, woe, woe. Is that a sin? I'm not sure. But he can save us from those woes. Oh, oh. Jesus can save you from your guilt. Do you have guilt today about something? Is there something in your life that you're guilty about? Maybe an unresolved guilt in your life. Jesus can save you from that guilt. Release that to him. Jesus can save you from the devil. Is that what you're struggling with today? Is there something in your life that the devil has just come? Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Jesus can save you from a bad habit. I won't ask for a show of hands, but do you have a bad habit that you need to be saved from? Jesus can save you from that. Do you need to be saved from cursing? Whether it be taking the Lord's name in vain and saying, oh my G-O-D, or whether it be using false language that we shouldn't use. Jesus can save you from that. Maybe it didn't seem to be much, but it was a lie. Or maybe it's a big lie. Jesus can save you from that as well. How are we saved? By a simple prayer of faith. I am thankful for God's saving grace today and forever. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for you. Would you bow your heads and would you close your eyes? Before I pray, ask for Jesus' saving grace from all of your sins, or maybe one that I've pointed out, or maybe God has revealed one that you need to be saved from. Don't wrestle with it anymore. Ask God to save you, and he will. Lord Jesus, I pray for each person in this room. Thank you that you have your name written on our own life belt, and that you can save us from our sins. God, we rejoice that you are the Savior of the world and you've saved us from our sins. Thank you. But as Christians, sometimes we allow, or it just happens, I'm not sure how it all takes place, these little things get into our lives. And so, God, as I've mentioned a number, if we need to ask for forgiveness, we just say right now, oh God, please forgive me for the sin of, and may you forgive us, and may you lead us in the way everlasting. You have the saving power to do it. And so we proclaim that, and we ask for you to do a mighty, mighty work right now. Thank you, God, for your saving power. Thank you that you came to save us from our sins. May we walk in boldness and humility this week. I pray that you go before each man, each woman, each boy, each girl that's here in this sanctuary today. May they be righteous in your eyes because of your son's death on the cross. We love you and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.